All right, as we continue on, I know it's difficult, but if you come to Genoa, like, you just know that we're a little different. You know that, right? Right? Our church is a little different, and if you like our church, you're a little different too. You guys understand that? Everyone shake their, yep. Most of you understand that. If you're new, thank you for being here, and we hope you come back. So we're continuing on in a series that we started 2 months ago, and I'm just going to peek back into the book of Proverbs and talk about wisdom and instruction from God. The book of Proverbs is written by a guy by the name of Solomon, who was the wisest person ever to live on this earth. Wisdom was given to him by God like it was given to no one else. And he has these wise sayings that he's passing on to his son, Rehoboam. Rehoboam had access to incredible instruction, incredible knowledge, but he did not serve the Lord just like his father. And as we look in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, the 12 tribes, ends up getting divided into 10 northern tribes and 2 southern. That is Rehoboam's fault because he was too harsh on his people. And so although all this access to wisdom and instruction is here, we see father and son did not apply this to their life. The foundational verse that we see here is chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Guys, if we want biblical understanding, if we want biblical knowledge in our lives, it doesn't start with head knowledge, but it starts with the fear of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Past couple lessons we've looked at, we're comparing Lady Wisdom to Lady Foolish, and how wisdom really reaches out to us and has a plan, has a purpose, and really guides us and keeps us away from stupidity. And Lady Foolish says, just come sit down, enjoy yourself, stay for a while, and whatever feels good, just do it. We learned 7 things that the Lord hates, and it really referenced back to him hating these things because they're the opposite things of the fruit of the Spirit. And so we see that Jesus, really God desires us for us to have these fruits of the Spirit in our lives. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the self-control in our lives. And so now we kind of transition from the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs, which is all about wisdom and instruction. And finally, we actually get into the Proverbs of Proverbs. Really, the Proverbs begin in chapter 10, and they continue on for the rest of the book. And we see these quick little one-liners, these one-hitters, and there's a few that I want us to look at, but there's a couple funny ones that didn't make the grade. Like, you can't preach a sermon on these, but I think there's things we need to know in Scripture that sometimes God's just funny. Amen? Amen. All right, so here's a couple that did not make the list. Chapter 11, verse 22. "A beautiful woman who rejects good sense is like a gold ring and a pig's snout." Guys, do not write that one down. Second one, chapter 16, verse 31. "Gray hair is a crown of splendor." Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. I'm feeling this one more day by day. 17, verse 1. "Better is dry crust and peace and quiet than a house full of feasting and strife." And the last one that didn't make the group. "Even a fool," this is chapter 17, verse 28, "even a fool is thought to be wise if he keeps his mouth shut." Ladies, please do not write that one down. If you as a husband or wife decided to write one of those 4 down, I want to remind you about a marriage conference that we have coming up at the end of the month here. It's $40. You'll enjoy it. But as we begin in chapter 10, we'll start in chapter 10, we'll end in chapter 10. There's 4 Proverbs I want us to look at. And really, these Proverbs, the first 2 go together, the second 2 go together. The first Proverb is kind of the foundation for the second Proverb, and the third Proverb is kind of the foundation for the fourth Proverb. And as we look at these things, once again, I want to remind you, these are wise sayings. These are not commandments. These are guidelines. These are guardrails for our life. We're going to see one of them, and as soon as I say the first one of them, you're going to say, well, that's not true. Because I know people that aren't in that situation, and I want to say, well, this is a wise saying. More often than not, this will be the truth. More often, this will happen. But we start off in Proverbs chapter 10, a short one in verse number 3. "The Lord will not let the righteous go hungry, but he denies the wicked what they crave." As we begin the actual Proverbs of Proverbs, like I said, starting in chapter 10, the first five verses really tell us about a father-son relationship going back to Solomon and Rehoboam. And it says, listen, a wise son brings joy and just brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings sorrow to his mother. As I think we can relate to that on one of having our own kids succeed or maybe make stupid choices, or maybe you as a child have succeeded and made your parents proud, or maybe there's times where you've made foolish choices and you see the sorrow on your mom's face. But these first five verses talk about how we can bring joy to our family. Sons and daughters, if you want to bring joy to your mom and your dad, live a faithful life. There's other things that can go with it, but the foundation becomes live a faithful life. It goes on to talk about food. Guys, I don't know why I'm always talking about food. I don't know why Scripture is always talking about food. Maybe it's because something we do all the time. Maybe it's something that we did a lot while we were on lockdown the past 2 days through the snow and different things that came our life. And we all have different things that we like to eat. Some like spicy, some like plain. We all have different things that we like in our lives, but it's something we can relate to because we eat all the time. But this is less a proverb about food and more a proverb about stability. Having food in your closet means you're doing okay. I don't know if you've been to your pantry lately, but you look at all the things that are in your pantry, all the cans, all the dry goods, maybe the food in your fridge, and you, like me, you open up the fridge door and you say, there's nothing to eat. And so you call Uber Eats or you order a pizza and you get your food, but really that pantry with the canned goods and the fridge that is full of food that you don't like is a sign of stability. It's a sign of you're doing okay. And we may not look at it that way, but especially when Solomon's writing here, we see that having food and resources is a sign of stability. And I know there's people around the world that are righteous, that love the Lord, and are struggling to find things to eat. But the proverb, the wise saying here, is to remember that righteous people tend to make good choices, and they promote healthy and secure lifestyles. And so point number one of what I had for us today is God provides for his people. God provides for his people. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. God provides for his people. God provides what we need. God provides when we need it. Does God provide for our safety? No. Does God provide our health? I mean, so far today, yes, but he doesn't guarantee that. Does God provide for our finances? Sometimes. But not all the time. We don't always get what we want. Does God provide for our forgiveness? Yes, he does. Does God provide a purpose for us in our lives? Absolutely. And does God provide our eternal life? You better believe he does, based upon his son, Jesus Christ. So God provides for his people, but I want us to look at the way he provides for his people. Because all of us in this room and people watching online, we're provided for differently. I'm reminded of when I look at leprosy. Leprosy is this horrible disease in the Old Testament that basically it was the original quarantine. One, your life was over physically and socially. So like you had the town, city that people lived in, but when you were declared to have leprosy, one, it physically started eating at your body and it was very problematic and it was a death sentence. It's nothing that could be healed. And on top of that, it was very contagious. So you would be kicked outside the city gates. You would have to go live out in the woods or somewhere else with a leper colony. And so leprosy was huge. There was no hope for you. You have to leave your family. You couldn't be by anyone you loved. You couldn't be in community because you could possibly pass it on to them. We pick up this story in 2 Kings chapter 5, a guy by the name of Naaman. Naaman was a very high-ranking official in the army. He was a valiant warrior. He had many men under his control, and all of a sudden, one day, he finds himself with leprosy. And he tried going to the doctors. He tried to go to different people in the community, and no one could heal leprosy because you just couldn't heal leprosy. And all of a sudden, one of his servants says, you know what? There's this guy by the name of Elisha. He's a prophet of God in Israel. And I remember, like, he has powers from God, and maybe you go check with him, and I know Naaman probably thought to himself, well, we've tried everything else. Might as well go and see if this guy can do anything. And so he goes to Elisha and he says, listen, I've got this leprosy. Is there anything you can do for me? And Elisha says, yes, go down to the Jordan River and dip yourself 7 times in the water and then you will be healed. And Naaman's first response is, don't you know who I am? Don't you know the resources that I could give you? Don't you know the power that I have to make someone do something and they do it? Like, what are you telling me I have to go to the dirty, nasty Jordan River? Like, I wouldn't bathe in the Jordan River. And he walks away, and his servant very politely stops him and says, listen, Naaman, I know you're upset. I know that water's dirty, and that's humiliating to go through something like this. But think of your alternative. If you're not healed this way, you have a death sentence. And Naaman just begrudgingly goes down to the Jordan River, and he dips himself 7 times, and he's healed from leprosy. Amazing story. You know, I think about the healing that he received because of obedience that he performed and humility that went with along with it, right? So God provided for Naaman, but it was with humility and obedience. Later on, we see a story of Jesus. Jesus is just walking down the road here in Luke chapter 17. And there's 10 lepers that are walking by from a distance. And they're like, hey, Jesus, have pity on us. We got leprosy. And Jesus is like, okay, you guys are healed. Go about your day. Oh, by the way, go to the priest so the priest can declare you clean so you can go back to your family and you can go back to your community and you can go back to your everyday life away from your death sentence. Right? And so they went from death to life just like that, just from a quick, hey, heal us. And what I think about that, there were 10 people in the group and only one person yelled out, heal us. The other 9 were just there, just hanging out with the right people, the right place and time. Did they receive their healing? Absolutely. That's what happens in our lives. God provides for us, but sometimes it's the hard road of obedience, humility and healing while we watch other people around us and they're like, hey, Jesus, I need this. And boom, they get it. And we can't complain about how we receive our provisions, how we receive our healings, how we receive the things from God, because sometimes it looks like it's very hard from us, that we have to work very hard to receive it, that we've had to do a lot of humility, but we praise God and we thank him that we have the ability to work to receive those provisions, to receive those healings in our life. God provides for us, but sometimes it works out magically for other people where it's a little bit harder for us, but we thank God that we're able to have those things from him. Don't judge how others receive, but we are thankful for how we receive, and hopefully through that transformation of God providing for us, of God taking care of us, of God meeting our needs, it allows us to reach out to this second proverb that we're going to look at today. And it's found in a couple verses in chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. It says, one person gives freely, yet gains more. Another withholds what is right, only to become poor. A generous person will be enriched, and the one who gives a drink of water will receive water. People will curse anyone who hoards grain, but a blessing will come to those who sells it. Point number 2 this morning is God desires a generous people. God desires a generous heart, and we should be generous people. I absolutely love generous people. Don't you love generous people? Like, we love generous people in our lives. I am so thankful for the generous people in my lives. I'm reminded of how God has been generous to me over the years. I'm reminded of this story. I've got a soon-to-be, this coming about the next week and a half, I will have a 20-year-old kid. We adopted him when we were 10 years old, so just kind of, you guys can figure out the numbers there. But I remember we were looking for a car for him when he turned 16. And we had a friend that was selling a truck, and he said, hey, I want you to come over and look at this truck. And I thought about it, and it was kind of a big truck, and I thought, you know, probably not a good first car for my son. And there was a little brake problem with it, so I thought, no, I don't want this. And I didn't even talk price with them. But I remember looking back at the look on their face, like I felt like they were kind of disgusted with me. Like, what do you mean you don't want to buy our truck from us? What's wrong with you? And I kind of went away like, well, that was awkward. So something else worked out, and we got a good car. I want to say a good car. We got a car for my son, and it worked out for him. He's still driving it 4 years later. It's great. But I remember about 3 or 4 months after that transaction, my car completely transmission done, like game over. It cost more to fix it than what it's worth. And so I thought, you know what, maybe I'll go check with the guy that's selling the truck. And I call him up and I say, hey, do you think we can meet? Have you sold that truck? He's like, nope, come over this afternoon. I'm like, well, I'm not sure. He's like, no, come around 5, 6, or 7, whenever you, just come. And so I came and I looked at the truck and I'm like, well, I don't have very many options right now. And so I thought to myself, there's a little bit of rust here, and I never see myself as a truck guy, but how much would you sell this to me for? And they said, Scott, you don't understand. 6 months ago, God told us to give you this truck. Before you even reached out to us, before you even knew anything about it. And he goes, that's why we were so confused 3 months ago when you said no. We didn't understand why you were saying no to God. And I'm like, okay, I didn't realize I was saying no to God. He goes, but what we realized, that truck wasn't designed for you. It wasn't designed for your son. It was designed for you. And we've been able to bless people with the truck as well. But what I love about the generous people, this is a generous person. Not only giving me the truck, they washed it out. They put a full tank of gas in it. They put new tires on it. And they left the change from the cup holder in the truck. We all love generous people, amen? But what if God is calling us from stop receiving from generous people to be the generous person? I don't get an amen from that because that's a little more difficult. It's a little bit harder. What I want us to transition from the thinking about the perspective of that the bank account of our life is so full that we don't have the resources of time or the resources of money to make a difference and be that generous person. Now listen, there's probably 4 or 5 people in this room that are way too generous with their time. Stop signing up for everything that we offer, right? Create margin in your life, but that's only 4 or 5 of you in the room. The rest of us, we got to make time to make time. We always talk about here at church, we want you involved in 1 hour of ministry, 1 hour of group, 1 hour of church, plus your tithes and your offerings. That's what we desire here. And I pray that maybe for some of you, being generous is seeing what you're already giving in the offering plate and stop seeing it as a bill and be able to see it as a gift to God. And maybe for some people in this room, it's less of seeing serving Wednesday nights in Awana as community service and seeing it more as giving back to God. And maybe for some people in this room, it's maybe for the first time you put a dollar bill in the offering plate just to say that I'm beginning this act of being generous. I'm beginning this act of giving. And maybe for others, it's, you know what, I'll sign up for this one thing at the church for 1 hour and just begin the process of serving with the resources that I have, being generous with my time, maybe playing 9 holes instead of 18 and still enjoying the golf, but still finding time to serve at the church. I'll tell you, when we want to be a generous person, it doesn't happen by chance. It has to be planned. We have to have time to do so. I remember about 15 years ago, a good friend of mine by the name of Matt was just hanging around the church, and I said, hey, you know, I'm the youth pastor here. Why don't you come help serve? Come hang out with me for a little bit. We're going to go see this kid's soccer game. You love soccer. You played college soccer. Let's go watch this high school kid play soccer. And so he went with me, and we had a great time. And I remember on the way back, he goes, Scott, I got a question for you. I said, no problem, ask away. And these are the times I'm wondering, like, okay, what? Think of the Bible, what biblical things? Okay, just remember the things you've studied, you're prepared, you're ready for this. This is before Siri and, like, just asking everything in your phone. You guys should never ask me a Bible question because you have access to it. Just ask me the interpretation because there's crazy interpretations out there. But here we go. He asked me this question. He goes, Scott, I make 6 figures a year. Should I be putting more than $20 in the offering plate each Sunday? I said, well, Matt, let me just explain some things from Scripture. And I didn't even talk about, like, tithing. I just showed him a few verses, and here's what Scripture says. And he's like, okay, thank you. No lie, 3 days later, I got a call from him, and he's like, we're selling our house, and we're downsizing so we can be generous people. I'm like, no, I didn't ask you to sell your house. Like, I'm just trying to show you the biblical frame of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Please don't sell your house. And I'm reminded at that moment that I was trying to keep him out of the will of God. For me to sell my house, that wasn't what God called me to do. For him, it was the beginning of an act that God was doing through him over a decade. And it began with God having his resources. And once God had his resources, they downsized. I remember him telling me, he's like, hey, I'm thinking about quitting this $100,000 job a year and going into ministry. And I was like, no, don't do that. Like, you have access to these free tickets and this free food, and I enjoy this friendship and your generosity. Don't do that. God convicted me. And I said, well, let's help you along. And he went into seminary and got his master's degree. And I remember when he went into ministry and took about a 75% pay cut to go into ministry. It was an act of blessing that God continued to work in his life because of the first resource he had. He's out in San Jose pastoring a great church today because of these small steps of obedience. And I think about that in our life. I don't think Matt would be involved in ministry if he didn't sell his house. Here's what I'm saying to you. Don't sell your house. You're not hearing me say sell your house. Stay where, well, actually, the market's really good. Sell your house and move into an apartment. But I'm saying sometimes God wants to do something in our life, and it starts with something that we see as insignificant. But once we take that leap of faith, once we take that act of obedience, God's able to work in and through us. First of all, it's purposeful. Or first of all, it's planned. Second of all, it's purposeful. Guys, if we want to be generous people, I think we should be generous people to the kingdom of God. God, there are so many things out there that want to take your time and your resources, and I'm not against all of them. I'm just against the ones that aren't fulfilling the kingdom of God. If you want to go save the whales and give money towards that, that's cool, but that's not fulfilling the kingdom of God. How do we do with inside our church walls? How do we get involved in ministry outside of our church walls? And I want to let you know there's a focus going on at our church that you haven't seen before. It's a focus that, yes, we've built this new building, we're growing this building, we're excited for it, but we've sat down over the last 3 weeks. Now that we're in the building, how do we get our people outside the building? And so you're going to see ministry opportunities this year like you've never seen before. We're going to ask you to serve 2 different weekends where we go outside of the church walls and get involved in 10 or 15 different ministries, and we need your time, we need your resources, and we need your effort to make that happen. Being a part of Kingdom Things, purposeful. Will this make a difference in the kingdom of God? I always encourage you to write a list. There's something about writing a list or writing it down that makes it a little more official. If we just think about it, it's no big deal. But if you write it down on a list, like, it's official. Think about, what does God want you to be involved in? What are things that have your heart? What are things that you could be doing for the Lord? And when you write that list, probably not all of them will happen. But more often than not, some of those things could happen in your life for you to be involved in. And here's what I love about ministry. Here's what these backward principles that we see that doesn't make sense to the rest of the world. When we get involved in ministry and we serve and we get involved in God's kingdom, what should wipe us out and wipe out our resources, we find out that it's rewarding. Going back to this verse, number 23 through 27, one person gives freely yet gains more. Guys, I can't explain it. I'm sure when we get to heaven, God will explain it to us. But one person that gives freely yet gains more, another withholds what is right only to become poor. This is a backwards principle. This doesn't make sense. If you give away, you should have less. If you hold on to more, you should have more. But we see this backwards proverb make sense. You give, you receive. You hold and you won't receive. And there's something rewarding. Maybe not those working Awana with the fifth grade boys, but for the rest of us in ministry, there's something rewarding about making a difference in the kingdom of God. Knowing that you're part of a bigger picture. We're part of something that God's doing around the world. And if you've been involved in ministry, you've experienced this yourself. All right, so those are the first 2 proverbs. God wants us to be generous because he provides for his people. If we know that God is providing for us, then yes, we can provide for other people. And before we get to the next foundational 2 proverbs that we're going to look at, I want to remind us of some other things that we've already looked at. We start out in Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I love what God says, trust in me. Like, this may not make sense on paper, but trust in me because I'm worthy of your trust. Trust in me. We looked at another topic where it said God wants you to be happy in him. God doesn't want us to receive our happiness from the things of this earth, but he wants us to receive our happiness and our joy in him. And finally, we understood that we are created to live for him. And because of those three things, we're created to live for him, he wants us to be happy, and he asks us to trust him, we can look to him like we see things in Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 10. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and protect it. Guys, I think I understood this verse more this week as we talked about the 2 feet of snow that was coming our way. Many of us made our homes strong towers. I have enough food in my house to feed several nations on this planet. There's no doubt in my mind until my sons brought their friends over who play football and basketball and 90% of it's gone. We have firewood. I'm not really good with building fires, but we had firewood. We had, I believe I counted 11 different flashlights. Why would anybody need 11 different flashlights? We were ready. We were ready to go. We built up our house as a strong tower. What this gives reference to is, I think, like a small town that didn't have basements and maybe had grass huts and whatnot, but they had the center part of their village that was a strong tower. And when the storm came, everyone ran to the storm shelter so they could be protected. And yes, the weather may come and the weather may go, but we ran to the strong tower for protection. And that's how God wants us to view him. That we run to him, and he's our strong tower. The things in our life may not make sense, and things in our life will be problematic. Some of these problems are going to be self-inflicted that we do to ourselves, and some of these will be inflicted where we didn't deserve them at all. But it says that we run to him in these times of need. Guys, this is a less formal running. You know, I think about if we had this formal dinner with God, we're going to put on our nice jeans. We're going to make sure that we iron our shirt. We're going to do our hair if you're able to do so. We're going to look good for God, right? We're ready. Like, storm's coming, but we're ready. We're ready for this formal dinner with God. And this is not what it's saying. This is like you just chopped off a finger and you need to go to the hospital. We don't say, well, let me change my shoes, put on some good shoes so I can go to the hospital. Or, you know what, these sweats really don't match this shirt, so let me fix it. No, you get your finger, you get in the car, and you go to the hospital because that's where you get your healing. Our strong tower is not about getting dressed up for God. Our strong tower is like, we have problems, and you're the one that can solve the problems. Speak to me and fix these problems. We move into the fourth proverb based upon this third proverb. And did I tell you the third proverb? I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Moving on, verse 10, back to chapter 10, verse 30. The righteous will never be shaken, but the wicked will not remain on earth. The righteous will not be shaken. Guys, my foundation will not be shaken. Sometimes I'm shaken, but the foundation of my life will not be shaken, not because I believe in me, not because I believe there's anything good in me, but because I know the strong tower in my life. Because I know when things come, whether my fault or not, there's a strong tower that I can run to. And I won't be shaken regardless of what the weather report is because I have the strong foundation in my life. The foundation that I stand upon is Jesus Christ. The foundation that I am is not finished. It's still being built up. As you come to church here on Sundays, as you're involved in your group, as you're doing ministry, this foundation of your life is being built up, as we see in Philippians 1:6, that he who began this work in you will continue on completing it and be faithful to complete it until you're done. And it's never completed this side of heaven. We're continually being built up. As we see these things, as we grow in our lives and the understanding of who God is in our lives, you know, I think some of the great things that have one of the greatest artists, Michelangelo, has ever given us. It took him 4 years to paint on his back the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. It took him 4 years to paint to continue to sculpt the 17-foot sculpture of a thing called David, which is supposed to depict moments before he goes into battle versus Goliath. You think about the 4 years it took for each of those projects, for these masterpieces, which is just art. Think about the masterpiece that we are in the sight of Jesus. Think about how loved we are. Think about how much God loves and cares for us. We have these foundations in our lives, but as we continue to learn and understand him more and more, these grow and we become a stronger foundation. And when that foundation is in our life, we may have things that shake us. We may have funerals that happen too soon of loved ones. We may have doctor reports that we're not ready to hear. But because of the things in our life, as we continue to learn the Word of God, we won't be shaken because of these foundations. Let me quickly give you a foundation that we tell everybody in marriage counseling, because we want you to understand the things that should happen in your life. Five priorities of life. Number one, God is the most important thing in your life. Can I get an amen on that? God is the single most important thing in your life. People in their 30s, let me tell you the second most important thing. If you're married, it's not your children. It's your spouse. Your spouse is the second most important thing in your life. Guess what? These kids will grow up, they'll find other people to hang out with, and they won't be around you anymore, and all of a sudden you'll be stuck in this house with that one person you decided to have children with at the beginning, and you won't know each other. The second most important thing in your life is your spouse. The third most important thing is your family. This is your children, and I think the greatest thing you can do for your children is show them how a spouse should be loved and should love. We got God, we have spouse, we have family. The next thing, guys, listen up, the church. The church. Fifth thing is your job. The church is more important than your job. Well, I need money to pay for my bills. I get that, but guess what? Your job will not outlive eternity. Your job is a means to provide and take care of you. Listen, I'm not saying quit your job and serve at the church 100% of the time. Continue to serve your job. But if it's taking away from the church, then that's a problem. So we look at these five priorities of our life. This becomes the foundation for our life. I just got a couple more questions for you, but before we do those, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Just a quick time of reflection. You know, we've talked about a lot of different things. We've talked about these four proverbs and what God desires in our lives and for us. Talked about how God provides, therefore we can be generous. That the Lord is our strong tower, therefore we won't be shaken. The question I have for you first is, if you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you can't have a firm foundation. This world will beat you up because you have nothing else to stand on. I'm going to say, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, very simply in your heart, just say, God, I'm sorry for things I've done wrong. I believe in your son, Jesus. And right now I ask him into my life. The next question I have for you, with every head bowed and eye closed, is how many people would be honest? And I'm not looking for hands just to see hands, but I'm looking for hands so I can pray for you individually. How many people in here today would say, you know what, Scott? I do feel kind of shaken. I do feel like this world's coming after me. And whether it's my own fault or the fault of someone else, I do feel a little shaken. Is there anybody in the congregation today that would just raise their hand and say, yep, that's how I feel. Amen. Amen. Guys, I wish that nobody raised their hand. I wish that we were all secure in the foundation and that we never felt shaken. But you know what? There's times where I would have to raise my hand with that as well. And I just want to pray for you. I just want to encourage you. I don't know what you're going through, whether it's physical, emotional. This can be a tough time of the year for many people. But I just want to let you know that your healing begins at the cross. Your healing begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I pray that you find that healing that you need. God, we love you and we thank you. God, we thank you that you're that strong tower. God, that we don't have to run to different things in this world, but God, we run to you. And God, you build up the foundation and you continue to build. And week after week and month after month and year after year, as we continue to follow you all the days of our lives, you build that foundation in us. God, I ask for these people that raised their hands today. God, that you would intervene in their lives, that you would be evident in their lives of the love you have for them. The help that they need, I pray that you would surround them with joy, that you would surround them with people that can help them, that you could surround them just with the love and let them feel the love you have for them. And God, I pray that these people that raised their hands would be able to come back even next week and say, God, thank you for the firm foundation I have only in you. God, there are things that are trying to shake me, but I won't be shaken. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.